I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic, where we get to know the people behind the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist, Marcia Novelli. If you'd like to be a part of my new solo album, please visit marcianovelli.com/pledge.
This week, we are excited to welcome Welsh voice actor and impressionist Schaefer Bates to the show. Schaefer's a man of many voices, and he's been taking the internet by storm with his Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead impression videos going viral, to name just a few.
He's racked up over 4 million views and 60,000 subscribers on YouTube and recently appeared on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. So we're excited to talk to the man behind the voices and hear the advice he'd offer to fellow voice actors and creatives in general. Hi, Schaefer.
How's it going, guys? Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show.
You are most welcome. Yeah, your videos have been everywhere on Facebook. So it's like, as soon as I saw some of your videos, like, we need to talk to this guy.
Yeah. It's been absolutely crazy over the last few weeks. Last night a video went viral as well. That'd make it the fifth viral video in 5 weeks, which has just been crazy.
Mind blown. Okay, let's get a little awkward before we talk about all this amazing stuff that's going on for you. Why don't you tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know?
Three things about myself that everybody should know. Anything. Okay, so I'm a voice actor by trade. Impressions was always something that was secondary. But that's just suddenly become a primary function of what I do now. I've worked with some big names in the industry in voice acting, but nobody knows. And I quite like that. I like the enigmaticness of being a voice actor. Another two things that people should know. I'm not that much of an interesting person, really. I'm quite a
nonchalant. Your favorite food?
My favorite food would have to be pub grub. So steak with chips and peppercorn sauce. That is my ultimate food.
And maybe a third one can be something that nobody really knows. It's maybe a little secret.
So your deepest, darkest secret, yeah.
Deepest, darkest secrets. I'm a huge, huge gaming nerd, big time. It takes up most of my... It's huge. I'm into every form of genre, video game, strategy, FPS, but I'm hugely obsessed with gaming. And not a lot of people know that. I mean, I'll play... I'm the guy who gets the headphones on and nice. He's playing like a modern warfare kind of FPS, and I'm directing people with a fire, and I really get into it with this kind of Hollywood-esque talk over the microphone. I'm that guy.
I would love to play like Halo on Xbox Live with you.
Yeah. There's a lot of
fire. Do you do your impressions like when you're playing with people
saying.
and then taking them by surprise? They're like, wait, hang on. Am I playing with Jon Snow? Am I playing with Stewie Griffin? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely that something that pops up a lot. So a lot of people suggest that a lot to me as well. They're like, when you play in, will you?
Yeah.
Maybe you should put that on the internet. But it definitely happens all of the time with different impressions just appearing in a game. It distracts everyone else from the game then. They're like, what is going on? What is this?
That could be good for your opponents, though. I mean, yeah, I haven't gamed in a while. I used to do a lot of, like you said, FPS is one of my favorites to play. When it has a good story and, you know, it's not just shoot 'em up. Halo was one of my favorites for a long, long time. I just haven't found the time to do that recently, but I want to get back into it. It's such a great stress reliever.
Yeah, yeah. I find it really therapeutic. I think that's the kind of the balance I find with working in my industry and then coming back to my hometown and just, you know, if I can't come up with a certain idea to write, to pitch for a day, I'll start gaming. I'll just game all day. I love it. And it's the kind of what I wanted, where I'm progressing with my career at the moment is going into that voiceover for gaming, and hopefully we'll pick up something nice. But I can't say too much right now.
Gosh, come on. This is what this show is all about. Breaking the news.
I've already told you one I can't tell you anymore.
I love it.
So, Schaefer, I'd love to find out a little bit. I know, obviously, you said voice acting was kind of the main thing for a while, but the impressions have kind of taken over, probably because, you know, they've been so popular. I'd love to maybe find out, when did you first discover that you were good at impressions, and what was the first one you ever did?
I think the first time, I mean, initially, I think it's that every impressionist always starts off doing accents. It was kind of the always go to in school, and without it sounding cliche, it kept the bullies off my back when I was a young kid. It was easier to make people laugh than you know, throw fists up and be that kind of ruffian about it. And it started off with the first impression was by Andy Serkis, which was Gollum. And that derived from the, you know, in the Lord of the Rings films. He explained how he did Gollum. And Andy Serkis wasn't a huge guy back then. He was still kind of unknown, and he was coming in with all these innovative ideas about CGI and voice acting. And he was really passionate about what he did. He was a working class guy, and I loved it. I was like, I love what this guy's doing. And I remember he described in an interview how he did Gollum, and they said it was based off his cat, which was coughing up a hairball. And, you know, at the time I was like, this is funny. But I since then, I've kind of got into it through then, just kind of delved into learning different dialects, and there's different pitches in which voices have done, like nasally, croaky, raspy, and I sort of fell in love with it. It was kind of strange. It was that I was falling in love with how people talk. I mean, I'd sit when I first started kind of socially drinking when I was 18, I'd sit in pubs, and people would be talking at me. I'd just be listening to them and kind of breaking down them as a character. It got quite strange, but you know, it's kind of worked out for me in the end. But yeah, definitely, it was just kind of the people watching as well. That's another one. People watching. I'd listen to conversations and my friends would go, "What do you think they're saying now?" And I create characters out of people I haven't met. Very strange, but it all starts off somewhere.
You know. You and I have something in common there. The difference is you're good at accents and impressions. Yeah, I don't even go there, Roz.
I'm going to go there.
But I have the appreciation, you know, and sometimes when I was a little bit younger, my friends and I actually would look at people talking, but we couldn't hear them, but we would create make up what they're talking. Yeah. Which is hilarious. Yeah. You just lose your mind. It is hilarious. I would recommend to anybody to do that. It's good laughs.
Yeah.
But what were we going to say, Roz? That I'm amazing at accents?
I was going to comment on your apparent Scottish accent. I mean, I really cannot.
Scottish? It's amazing. You can learn something from this, man.
I'd like to see you both try a Welsh accent, to be honest, because every time attempts a Welsh accent, it's appalling.
I can sort of do a Welsh accent, and only because I used to work in a call centre, and the whole thing, it was a call center, an energy company, but one of the sub companies was Welsh. And all of our advisors are busy at the moment. That's the best I can do.
You're as awful as me. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
As a Welshman, I thought that was quite good.
I mean, it could use some work. It could use some finesse, but you know, I think as a starting point, not too bad.
I've got something there. You've got some.
If I ever need to play a character, you know, a Welsh call center person, then, you know, I've got that part down.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll pitch you for anything down in London. I'll let them know. Yeah, I know this guy who can just do a few words as a Welsh.
So as long as all you need him to say is all our advisors are busy at the moment, then he's your guy. Yeah.
That's it. You can be a walk on. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, brilliant.
So speaking of pitching ideas, you recently shot a pilot episode of Icon for E4. Was the show your idea?
So, the show was written between me and my producer. They came up with a basic premise, and I kind of elaborated on it. And you know, we at its sort of founding points, it looks very basic, and then you elaborate on it with your producer, and it gets bigger and bigger, and then you're like, okay, this looks like a good show idea. But mostly it was sort of bouncing ideas around with my producer, but I think that in the end, the actual characters and the scenarios were from me. I came out and was like, look, I think this will work, and it did work. It worked really well.
Well, yeah, and I'm wondering, do you have any advice for other voice actors who actually want to make a living off what they're doing?
Yeah, so my advice would be to remain Teflon. There is a lot of rejection in the industry, and that is something that you will need to naturally be able to put up with. There's a lot. It doesn't matter how good you are at something or how good you think you are at something. There's always going to be rejection. And my advice would be just keep pushing on through. Keep pushing on through. I mean, another thing is, if you want to do something like this, I mean, I quit my job. I packed everything in to derive all of my focus into what I do. And my ethos is, if you want to do something like this, it can't be a full-time job. It has to be a full-time obsession.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think we can both relate to that. And a lot of people we've had on the show, I think, can also relate to that. Is that you've kind of got to go all in. It's like, yeah, if you want to build something that's yours, you have to be really in it, like, all the time. So yeah, I think that's definitely important.
Which is not always easy at the same time, though, whether you have other obligations. Oh, whether you have other obligations or you have other projects you've committed to, you know, it is difficult. I guess the thing I sometimes struggle with is spreading myself too thin. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, it's finding that focus. You also don't want to just put all your eggs in one basket in one sense, but
exactly,
you know,
you
do need to put all your energy into what you truly want to do with your life.
Yeah, definitely. It is definitely something that, yeah, you have to put complete, you have to sort of sacrifice parts of your life to you know, be in it, as Ross said. But going back to sort of rejection, that's something that people, I'd always say, don't, your confidence is going to get knocked a lot. But some of the greatest voice actors and greatest actors, you're looking at 10, 15 years before they even landed their first role. I was very lucky in the sense I'm 24. I came from YouTube and managed to get my own show, which I'm very proud of. And, you know, but that doesn't mean that I've made it and I've got where I've wanted to. You have to keep going. And, you know, there's plenty of shows that or roles I've auditioned for where I've been rejected. And that's something that I just try and encourage people to not lose faith, because something better always comes along, and it always does. I've had times where I've had 4 or 5 months where there's been no work and I'm like, wow, I think maybe I should try something else. And then all of a sudden you've got, the Jimmy Kimmel thing, that was 4 or 5 months of, things were going viral on YouTube, but it was like nothing was happening. This is really quiet. And then I was like, you know, maybe I should put this to bed. Jimmy Kimmel calls up then, I want you on the show. And then that kind of, I think that's where I kind of got the idea of, you know, you just got to keep pushing through and wait it out and just try your best, really.
What was that moment like?
My manager called me up and said, so Jimmy Kimmel wants you on the show. And I was like, my manager, I thought, maybe he's got this wrong. Maybe he's like, you know, this isn't, he's got this totally wrong. He doesn't, because he called me up and he went, Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know if you've watched his show. Jimmy Kimmel wants you to come on his show. And he was like, or is it Jimmy Fallon? I don't know. One of them. I was like, oh, which one is it? Probably. But it was very surreal. And it was even more surreal being on the show, even though it was, you know, it's through a webcam, but it was so, oh God, I think of it now. It's a lot of goosebumps. And it's the opportunities I've had since then to meet the Game of Thrones cast, most of who I'm very good friends with now, has been amazing. So I'm really massively grateful for that.
I was just going to say, it seems like you're humble and very grateful for, you know, the success you've achieved up to this point. And I love that. You know, I think that's so important. There's nothing more unattractive, I think, when someone's not grateful and humble. you know, and I love it. I'm straight, you know, just honestly, right? I love that.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think one of my mothers brought me up.
Well, that's a good thing. She's done a good job.
Absolutely.
And one of the other things that really impressed me, I think, I mean, this is kind of, there was another voice actor on Britain's Got Talent, and people were posting on your Facebook page about, you know, how he apparently like copied your act and all this stuff. But I was really impressed by how you responded and dealt with that, you know, in a very kind of calm way, you know, acknowledging that, you know, nothing is ever 100% original. We all take inspiration from other people. And you know, rather than, you know, trying to tear this guy down, I don't know if there is a collaboration on the cards, but there was some talk about, you know, potentially doing something together, which is really nice. I like that, you know, it's that collaboration versus competition kind of thing, which I really like. So I'd maybe like to hear your side of that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I know the guy very well as of now. He's a very, very, very nice guy. And I didn't want to put him in a position where the guy who inspired him, as he admitted to me, was turning around and saying, this guy has completely ripped off my stuff, because it wasn't my stuff. You know, he could have been inspired by the routine of where the impressions were going in the songs or whatnot. I think the argument where people were saying that the kind of playlist of how I'd released the videos, he'd done it the same. But he admitted why. And I was completely humbled by it. I was like, why should anyone tear this guy down? He's got on the stage in front of thousands of people doing, you know, voices one after another, which is like doing that. I can't do it now. And I just think it takes a lot of confidence to get up on stage. And I just think there's nothing worse than hateful and derogatory comments towards you, because even I class myself as very thick skinned, but it's horrible. And I think to be dragged down like that, and it would have looked even worse on me for me to join, because there was other impressionists that he was compared to who didn't handle it like I did and were very spiteful towards him. And that disgusted me. People who are in the industry who have earned where they are for a reason think that gives them the right to talk to someone like this. And another thing is my ethos with things like that is I shake the hand of everyone when I work on set. I shake the hand of runners. I shake the hand of cleaners. Because what's to say if I was to completely bring this guy down, in 5 years' time, he's not massive, and then I'm approaching him and saying, oh, do you want a collaboration? And he said, well, remember that time you did that? And I always think like that. You've got to be nice
to
everyone.
You just want to be a good person. you should treat everyone equally, right? Of course.
Definitely. And I just think the way the papers handled it it kind of fornicated things, and it made me look bad, and I just felt really bad for the guy. And we have discussed the collab since. It's been a bit quiet because I've been busy, but you know, I'd love to do a collaboration with him, because I think that kind of it shuts everyone up in the end. It kind of stops people. Sort of, it felt like people were speaking for me, which angered me, but I couldn't say anything. Mm-hmm. It felt like people were going on this guy's videos and kind of getting a lot of attention, where they were going, Schaefer Bates did this first. And it was annoying for me. And I do appreciate my fans. It's lovely that they support me in that sense, but it does come back on me. And so it'd be nice to collaborate with him now. And it'd just be nice. It'd be refreshing for everyone to see, look, we're working together. And he's a lovely guy. He's a really genuine guy.
Ross says this often, there's room for everyone. There really is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's correct.
And I love the idea of collaboration rather than competition. Like, I'm going to keep that in mind. I like that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Something really I talk about all the time. It drives me crazy when I see, because I mostly work with musicians, so I see a lot of musicians all the time, and, you know, they're complaining about how this artist is number one in the charts, whereas they're not, you know, even signed to a label or something like that. And I just feel like, yeah, but one, you've probably got completely different audiences, and really, does talking negatively about someone make you look better, or does it make you look worse? And it makes you look worse. So
absolutely.
I just feel there is room for everyone. There's how many billion people live in this world?
Exactly. You
know, you're going to find your tribe just...
And your niche, and exactly.
Yeah, just, I don't think there's any excuse for not trying to bring anyone else up with what you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always used the kind of analogy that if I had a couple of million pounds right now, you know, I'd sort my friends out. So it's no different to, you know, someone who's trying to, who's a budding impressionist, who's inspired by someone to help him out. There's no excuse to not. I just can't fathom people who are like, why are you helping this guy? He's ripped you off, but why not? Why?
It doesn't take away from your success. You know, it doesn't make you any less successful to help someone else. No.
Exactly.
Find some success too, you know. That's my mentality as well.
It's a dog eat dog world, and people assume that if you're bringing somebody else up, that they're going to lose the limelight and what they're doing. And it's rife with that at the moment everywhere, and it's hard. So I'm just trying to, you know, help people while I can because nobody else seems to want to do it.
Well, yeah, but it's funny because you know, the most successful people that we've had in the show have the exact same attitude as you, and they treat people well, they help others out. And I think that leads to long-term success rather than short-term success, because you're treating people the way you want to be treated, and people pay attention to that. Whether they say it or not, they do pay attention to it.
Yeah, definitely. You're right, definitely.
Are you ready for 20 questions?
I'm ready. I've been ready. Well, I've just been ready for ages. I'm just clicking my fingers. I'm not very good at things like this, so... I'm ready.
You know what? I've got an idea. You should pick an impression to answer 20 questions. And what do you think, Ross? I just came up with this. I think it'd be great.
It's completely up to you. I don't want to add extra pressure.
And I don't want to make you. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm nervous.
I'm in a Stewie Griffin kind of day today from Family Guy. So I think I'll roll with that.
I love it.
Cool.
All right, let's do this. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Vegetables.
TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
Twitter or Facebook?
I like that Twitter.
Yoga or yogurt?
Cool Whip.
Jon Snow or John Malkovich?
Jon Snow, definitely. Lord Commander.
Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul?
Breaking Bad.
Seth Rogen or Stewie's creator, Seth MacFarlane?
I go with Seth Rogen.
Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead?
Game of Thrones. All over, baby. Game of Thrones.
Talent or attitude?
Attitude.
Jesse Pinkman or Walter White?
Jesse Pinkman, my boy.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars, absolutely.
Stewie Griffin or Peter Griffin?
I think I'm going to go with the fat man, Peter Griffin. Yeah.
Batman or Superman?
I'm going to go with Superman here because I much prefer his powers.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael MJ. Let's go with Michael Jackson.
Vampires or zombies?
Zombies.
Captain America or Iron Man?
Iron Man. I don't like Captain America. I find he's really snooty on his ideology on things. Is really silly, you know?
Whale or kale?
Whale. The big fish in the sea.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler, definitely.
And the final question, keep in mind, Stewie, I love you very much, a lot. Like, truly,
maybe
when you answer
these
questions. The final question is...
I wish I didn't say that.
I see where you're going with this, Ross. You're trying to do the flirting here, you know?
The final question is
Ross or Marcio?
Oh God! Ross, I'm gonna go with you because we have that Celtic pride, you know, ancestral.
Ross always gets picked.
You're okay. Like I said, Marcio, I pick you every time. So really, you've won, you know, 90 or however many we've done.
There we go. That might have been the most I've ever laughed during 20 questions. Just going to say. Oh my God, that was good. I need a breather. Ready? I need some tea. Here we go. Listen.
Yeah, my face hurts. So
my face.
Thanks
hurts.
For that.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, clearly it's obvious how you've built a loyal fan base on YouTube with your impressions and videos that you post on there. So I guess going back to a little bit of advice, what would you say to somebody who wants to do the same, whether or not they're a voice actor or an impressionist? You know, how would they go about building a loyal following on YouTube?
I think the first thing is always to brand yourself correctly. I mean, I'm lucky with branding that I have a really unique name, thanks to my dad. So it's kind of, you know, with my name, I don't think there's any other impressionist called Schaefer on YouTube. So I'm kind of lucky with that. But in terms of building a fan base, it's always finding your niche, finding sort of your own kind of series that you can do. I mean, mine that kind of got me my audience on YouTube was Celebrity Miscast, where I miscast celebrities in the wrong movies. So Donald Trump in Lion King, Christopher Walken in Star Wars. That people loved that because it hadn't been done, and that they can kind of relate to it. But yeah, building your fan base is another thing is socializing with your fans. If you've got one fan, 5, 10, 10,000, you have to talk to them all, because a lot of my ideas have come from comments on YouTube saying, oh, you should try this. And then I've actually gone and inboxed that person and said, look, and you know, do you want to elaborate on this sketch with me? And there's been sketches I've written on YouTube where I've actually credited fans in the end.
Oh, no way. I love that.
And and people see that as a sort of niche. And you've got to be loyal to your fans. As cliche as it sounds, you get a lot of people who go,
thank you so much for all my fans. I love you so much.
And they don't. They don't. They really don't. They love the fact that brands are giving them lots of money, but they don't. I said when I worked on TV, and I still do, people were like, are you going to quit YouTube? I was like, no, YouTube is my baby. It's my portfolio. It's where I started. YouTube is bigger than anything. It's bigger than TV. And I love coming on YouTube because there's no bars on what I can do on YouTube. Nobody's saying what I can and can't do. But yeah, definitely look after your fans, because your fans will look after you.
Well, great. That's great.
Absolutely.
And speaking of YouTube, your YouTube channel is...
www.youtube.com/ Schaefer Bates.
Perfect.
And like, share, and comment.
We do the same thing. It's so annoying. We feel so annoying saying,
I know.
Like and comment. Schaefer Bates is also your Twitter, Instagram. The only one that is a little bit different is Facebook, which is Schaefer.Bates.
That's correct.
As in full stop. Bates.
I'm talking to you guys now, and I think shortly in the next 5 minutes, I'm actually about to reach 100,000 followers on Facebook. So, exclusive.
This is an exclusive. Here first. Here it is. And as for me, I'm working on my second solo album. And as I said earlier, you can be a part of that by going to marcianovelli.com/pledge. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, which are all my name, Marcianovelli.
I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment, and you can check out my work and my blog at electrickiwi.co.uk. You will find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook as Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton, the Rockstar Advocate, Buck Naked Soap Company, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so please do check them out.
And if you want to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic.
And finally, the last thing and link we're going to throw at you after we just did,
because
like
we're not
20,
giving you enough.
Yeah, make sure just to follow us on social media around. You can find us just Bridge Atlantic. It's pretty easy, and you will find us and say hi. And just as Schaefer said here, we love talking to everybody. We really do. And we want your suggestions and ideas to grow the show and make it better. That's it. So that's it. Yeah. So thanks so much for coming on the show, man. This has been really fantastic. You're not only a talented dude, but you're a really sweet and nice and great dude. So we hope to keep in touch and wish you all the best of luck. Not that you need
Thanks,
it now.
I'd love to come back on any time. I enjoy this. This is good. It's intimate. I like this. This needs to happen more often. So yeah, thanks very much for having me. And I love you guys.
Oh, I love you too.
Yeah, love. We like love.
There you go. Yeah, let's do it. There we go. We're making that.
Are we going to bridge? Yeah. Are we going to do like a different kind of bridge here?
Yeah. There we go. This like
we're such holding hands.
We're such hippies. Heal the world.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.